Welcome to Dentists, Implants, and Worms, helping you navigate the world of dentistry one vodka soda at a time. As always, from day one, this episode is brought to you by Boyd's Wine and Spirits on Mount Rushmore Road in Rapid City, South Dakota. The finest selection of bourbon and wine for miles around with cold beer, a growler station, and rock bottom prices. Now, here are your co-hosts, Doctors Justin Moody and Randy Huska.
Welcome to another episode of Dentists, Implants, and Worms, helping you navigate the world of dentistry one vodka soda at a time, substituting that for wine this afternoon. So, we are in a brand new studio here in Vancouver, Washington, in the Odland Professional Building. And before we get too far, we must thank our sponsor from day one, and that is Boyd's Wine and Spirits, Mount Rushmore Road, Rapid City, South Dakota. Amazing bourbon selection, outstanding prices, and just good people. Also, would like to thank Tito's Vodka for their sponsorship of our podcast, as well as the Dragon El Diablo, so Fireball. So, all right, we have a great show.
Flossfit.
Yes. So the title of this podcast is going to be Flossfit, and with me at the wine table is Jen and Jess from Odland Dental. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Of course. We have a little. We got some Paso Robles 1858 that we're drinking, and
delicious.
We
are hygienists.
Tell the world about yourself.
Well, I have worked at Odland Dental for 6 years, and I've been in the dental field. I started out as a dental assistant, so I've been, I worked at two, so six, 10 years? 10 years. 10 years in the dental field. And Jess and I met, and, well, this is how the FlossFit started. So...
Of course it did.
Yep, yep. So, you do your introduction, I guess.
Well, I'm Jess. I'm the other hygienist over here at Odland Dental. I've been here for 5 years, and I also have been in the dental field for quite a while. Started in the front office and then went to assisting and then to hygiene, and my husband keeps asking if I'm going to become a dentist, but the answer is no. Happy where I'm at in hygiene. So I've been doing dental for 13 years now.
And you met at a...
Well, this is the story. So
this is a good one.
I moved down here back in 2012.
From where?
From an hour past to Seattle, so Stanwood, Camano Island. It's a very farm town. You can drive right past it on the freeway, and you'll miss it. But I moved down here because I like the dental schools a lot better, so my goal was to get into hygiene school, and my husband lived down here. And so he was a part of a CrossFit gym, and we just moved into our brand new apartment. I was there only a day, and he's like, hey, one of the members at the gym.
We had met a few times.
Maybe like two times.
She would come down to work out with Max, and we were part of same CrossFit gym. So we knew Max well, and we knew Jen a little bit.
A little bit.
Uh-huh. Yes. Carry on. You can just bash me as a mother. It's fine.
It's totally fine.
Quality
totally
story.
Fine. So he was like, so Jess and Corey, they live at the apartment. We lived in the same apartment complex. She's going to drop off her daughter, Ashlyn, because I didn't have a job yet. I literally was here a day. And you're going to take her to the bus stop.
She was in kindergarten. I hadn't quite planned out the bus routine while we were both working. So Jen stepped in, blueberry muffins, and we've been friends ever since.
Yep. And there it goes.
So you literally gave your kindergartner to a stranger to take to the bus stop.
Yeah, she seemed pretty authentic at the time.
Yeah.
I feel like I had a good judge of character.
Yeah, I think that's a good first impression.
Yeah,
for sure.
That's fun. And then I started CrossFit, and we've been doing CrossFit for 10 years.
Yeah.
How does that correlate to flossing?
A lot.
Yeah, we have a lot of great analogies
of
why you should work out and floss your teeth. It's our two passions.
A little disclaimer, you will not find FlossFit on any media besides
this podcast.
Yeah.
Is it coming, or is this just...
I mean, it really just depends on how this episode takes off. This could be the launching point of our FlossFit career.
You could be the founding.
We could be on Ellen.
Well, virtually no one listens to this, so it's
out,
perfect.
Is what you're saying? I'm not... Didn't she quit, even? Is she done?
Ellen?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't really know that. I tried to get my cohort, Randy Huska, and he was busy this evening, so we'll save that for when we make him come out here in person.
Okay.
Yes. All right.
Flossing and CrossFit.
No.
Do you want to?
Listen, it's both subjects that I absolutely
adore.
Well,
no, that was
you're not
right
supposed
answer.
To admit that to two hygienists.
Oh. I've cleaned his teeth.
Well,
oh,
I'm just kidding. He's got great teeth.
I do. I haven't had a filling since I was in dental school, and
you do a good job.
Yeah. Well. And to my point is I don't floss and I don't need to.
Okay,
but see, that's the difference.
Tell me what the difference is.
So, flossing and brushing. Brushing and flossing.
So you can do one without the other.
No. You have
There's
to do
a
them.
Song that says you can't have one without the other.
There's a song?
Well, it's Love and Marriage, but brushing and flossing, we could substitute it.
Can you sing it?
No.
Oh.
Okay. I'm going to need another soft line before I start singing.
Yeah.
Exercise and nutrition.
I can get behind that.
Okay. So you can, if you only do exercise and exercising and you have horrible nutrition, you're never going to see any results.
Agreed.
If you're only brushing and you're not flossing, your gums are just still going to bleed.
Did my gums bleed?
I don't know how honest you want me to be on your podcast.
I do not have a yuck mouth. Like, I want you to say that on the podcast. I do not have a yuck mouth.
He does not have a yuck mouth. He does take care of his teeth.
Where's the perio chart?
Yeah, let me go get my evidence box. No, he takes great care of his teeth. But the reality is there are people in life who just have natural ability to be, you know, thinner or fit or whatever you want to call it. And some people get lucky and don't have to floss. But that doesn't mean that they're healthy on the inside. So, you know, some people get lucky in that way, but a lot of us have to work for those goals, whether it's working out or eating right or flossing our teeth to keep our gums healthy.
And CrossFit is just like that. Like, it builds a mentality. Like, I started CrossFit when I was 21. And I feel like, I mean, my husband was a coach for 10 years he was a coach. And so starting that young, I feel like for the both of us, it just kind of structured our life to be able to adapt to different things and like make it like goal driven. So like, I don't know, you have never done a CrossFit workout. So, like, you're like,
we can
oh, I want...
that.
Yes,
we at
can
any change point.
No, I'm pretty sure that
so
we
like,
won't need
I
to change
get,
that. Like,
I want to get my first pull-up or something like that. And so you have a goal. And so then you, like, do all these workouts to build strength, to do push-ups, to do all these things. And then you reach that goal and you do a pull-up. And then everyone, like, congratulates you and you're so excited. And then same thing with our patients. Like, we want to encourage them. And, like...
So this is... you need a coach for this.
Yes. We are the
like
coaches.
A cheerleader.
We are. We're your personal cheerleaders.
Yes.
Every time you come see us, we will talk to you about flossing.
Yes.
Yes, you do. Like, okay, flossing to some people would be important.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I get that. All right, tell me about the I want to go back to this CrossFit thing. CrossFit. So you've got, what do you do?
Well, because
tell me about it. Like, are you gonna go to CrossFit tonight?
Well, so I used to do, so we literally right down the road.
We used to be a part of a gym. They call it a box if you're in CrossFit.
Yes.
It's not a gym. Yep, no mirrors, and it's called a box.
So CrossFit kind of stands for constantly varied functional movements performed at high intensity across broad times and modal domains. That's what CrossFit is.
Okay.
So
tell me about a typical, like you show up to CrossFit tomorrow, like, what do you do first?
So we get there, we talk to all our friends, like, hey, how's it going? How's your day? It's like a family. It's like totally different. Like, everyone thinks it's weird, but you're like, oh, we're gonna go hang out at our CrossFit gym. So we get there, we talk to our friends, we're like, how's it going? Then coach puts us through a warm-up. So you go out, you know, like on a run, you do some like toe taps, you do some arm waves, you do some movements, you warm your body up. Then you go into usually like a strength training session. So you either couples with the workout of the day, which is called WOD, workout of the day.
Workout of the day. Okay, All right, I can get around that. I'm good.
Do a CrossFit workout.
Pretty much not going to happen, but that's okay.
Let me come around one day.
Then, so like, say you're doing like the workout has squats. So you're going to do back squats. So you do like 5 sets of 3, and then you build up in like weight to do a strength portion. Then everyone kind of moves on from there. Then they do the WOD. So then the WOD could be like 21-15-9.
A what?
21-15-9.
What does that mean? What's 21 mean?
So there's reps and there's rounds, and there's like every minute on the minute you're going to do certain movements, or you're going to do these movements for a certain amount of rounds, and you're going to see how long it takes you, or you're going to do a certain workout and see how many rounds you can get in that time frame. So it'll be burpees and a run and pull-ups.
And this is the WOD?
Yeah, it's just a mix of different movements. There's kind of a standard list of, I don't even know, a handful of movements that we do in CrossFit. And then
benchmarks.
Then the coaches will put them into different variations of workouts. And you just push yourself really hard and try and beat the person next to you. That's actually not the methodology behind it, but that is what us competitive people do.
So like Fran is a very popular one. It's like a benchmark workout. So like you always do these throughout the year to try to better your score. So that one's 21-15-9 thrusters and pull-ups. So you do 21 thrusters, 21 pull-ups. 15 thrusters, 15 pull-ups. 9 thrusters, 9 pull-ups. And then you
thrusters
die.
Are of the devil. They're probably the worst movement in CrossFit, in my personal opinion.
It's a squat and then you push up with a bar.
It's pretty terrible.
And then they call it Fran lung because you're literally dying on the floor after you're done.
So we have moved on from the box type style workouts where we're going to the gym every day at a set workout time to work out with a group of people, and we have moved into a different phase of life. For me, it's because I have 3 kids, and being able to commit to a time at the gym was too hard. And so we found what's called street parking. Shout out to street parking.
Whoop, whoop.
They also have a podcast, and they're awesome. They're based out of here in Vancouver as well, Camas area. Mm-hmm. And we love them. And they basically do all your programming for you, and you build your own home gym based on whatever equipment you, like how committed you want your equipment to be. So it can be as simple as... When we started, we had made our own box to do box jumps. We had a set of dumbbells and we had a jump rope. And you can basically customize any workout that they put out for the day based on the equipment that you have. So it's a little bit different because it's a lot more accountability on yourself, because there's not a group of people who's, where were you? Are you coming tomorrow? But it is nice to have the flexibility and time to do your workout.
So you do it in the street?
So it's called street parking because you do it in your garage, and the name behind it is that you park your car on the street because your garage is your gym now. I also park my car in the garage. My husband parks in the driveway because he loves me.
And with COVID, like a lot of folks.
You couldn't go inside the box during COVID, yeah. So you guys went outside.
Closed down. Yeah. So we made our own gym in our garage, and it just works better with our schedule.
All right. Is this one of those things where you, like, take big tractor tires and you roll them and do that sort of stuff, too?
No, we don't really do that anymore.
Not at the home gym.
We don't really have big tractor
tires. So we don't live in Nebraska, and there's not as many tractor tires. Just kidding.
This is Vancouver, Washington.
Yeah, it is. It is. We have some street art over there on
we
the
do.
New...
So beautiful. Nice.
Yeah, yeah. So,
courtesy of...
Shout out to the homeless retards that decided to put graffiti on the storage.
I think we just painted that from the previous artist that designed
art. That is a fact. Mm-hmm. That is a fact.
So we're loving that here in the Northwest.
So you just do this and you get better at it and you get better scores at the Fran. Yeah. Yeah. And all right. How many people are in your group?
Well, so usually in a typical gym, there was, I would say, like an art, there was like 200 members, but
the
their programming, I think they are up to like 1,000.
Oh no, they are no more than that.
At that gym?
10,000.
So it's not a gym, so it's all online programming. So Street Parking doesn't have, they have a headquarters, but they don't have a place that people go to work out. It's all programmed through an app on your phone and you work out in your own gym. So there's Facebook accountability groups and there's the online through their programming that you can get help from coaches and stuff, but it's basically an independent thing. So people like Jen typically works out with a group of friends. I tend to be more independent in mine just because my schedule is not as flexible as hers. So, but they get together and they do it all at the same time.
Usually at the end of the day, I have usually 5 people at my house just working out. It's fun. Community fitness.
Community fitness.
Very motivating.
In the street.
Well,
it's really the driveway.
In our garage.
Garage. Yes. Unless you're going on a run, then you're going
to
run on the street.
And you have to run on the street.
What do we do in the rain?
You run in the rain. Suck it up, Buttercup. We're from the Northwest.
Or
West.
You do burpees.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of customization.
Lots of burpees.
You can do different things. But.
But.
Or you buy a treadmill, which is what I did.
Consistency.
Yeah.
Their whole main thing is consistency is key, quoting Street Parking.
Yeah.
Or their more than nothing mentality.
Which is where we could segue into flossing. So we talk a lot about, like with my patients, a lot of people come to the dental office and they are not flossers. That's not an uncommon thing in the world we live in. So when people say, you know, when I'm harping on them in the most loving way to floss their teeth, I always tell people going from not flossing at all to flossing every day is a big jump. So just try and be consistent. Find a time. Commit to 3 days a week, commit to a time where you're gonna be able to do this, and just start there. Start with 3 days of flossing, and then you'll build your habit from there. You'll build your consistency. And I also recommend to patients, like at nighttime, it's the easiest time of the day to have an excuse. I'm so tired, I'll definitely do it tomorrow. I just didn't have time or whatever. So maybe it's in the morning after your coffee, that's when you floss your teeth. Or before you drive home from work, you have your floss in your car. And you're just going to make some sort of a commitment.
Or in your car.
Put it in the shower. Because no one's going to interrupt you while you're showering.
She's not a mom. She doesn't know.
No. Yeah. Nasty. Yeah. All right. Let's talk about it. Do you really think... All right. Hypothetically.
There we go.
I go in. I have either of you clean my teeth. They feel so sparkly and... smooth and shiny and all those things, and my gums didn't bleed because I'm not a trash mouth, and so therefore just want to get that back out there again. It is true. See, so if I go home that evening and I brush my teeth, and I get up in the morning and I brush my teeth, and I go to bed and I brush my teeth, like I am consistent in like brushing my teeth every day. Do I really need to floss?
I personally would choose flossing over brushing. Because if you think about it, the bristles...
How's a floss going to get the fuzz off the front?
The bristles of your toothbrush can't reach under your gums.
Really? Like you can angle those things to get them underneath the... Like,
how does a bristle get into a pocket and go around an implant?
Ooh, bringing it back. What he cares about.
What about hydroflossing?
Hey, listen, when I first came out of school, I was, you know, when you learn things one way, right, you're like, no, you have to use string floss, cocoa floss, shout out to cocoa floss, you have to use a string floss, you have to be doing it every day. The longer I've been in my career, I don't care what you use. Bacteria builds up in between your teeth and underneath your gum line. So the only way...
In some people.
No, in everyone.
Besides Justin. Mm-hmm.
Except Justin. He doesn't have a yuck mouth.
That's right. Third time.
Gold standard.
So the point is that bacteria, we use the analogy that bacteria in between your teeth is like a barnacle on a rock. The longer it sits there, the more it's going to harden on and become that barnacle on a rock. And once it's hard on there, you can't get it off. So if you're breaking up that bacteria, whether it's three times a week with a water flosser or a pick or cocoa floss, whatever you want to use, you're disrupting that bacteria so that it's not sitting stagnant on your teeth and hardening on and becoming calculus. That's our goal as hygienists, is we want to make sure.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be floss. If you water flosser, proxy brush, anything to get in between.
What the hell is cocoa floss?
You don't know what cocoa floss is?
Oh, my heart just broke a little bit.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay.
How dare you?
Cocoa floss is a brand of floss that is a thicker woven floss. And it's
infused with coconut oil. And they have...
So it glides really well.
All the different flavors.
And it's woven. It just feels really good on your gut.
Sounds like you should just, like, coconut oil, like, do coconut pulling and...
No.
Like,
no.
Like,
no.
You don't recommend oil pulling?
No.
Truthfully, I don't know enough. I don't know enough about it. But in my like logical mind, I'd say I'd call BS. But I mean, I'm not a dentist.
Pause the time to sit there for 10, 15 minutes swishing with oil.
You have to do it for 10 or 15 minutes?
Yeah. Doesn't taste good. Just floss your teeth.
The coconuts are gross to begin with. That's why I don't like cocoa floss. Like,
okay, they have watermelon.
I thought you said you didn't know what it was.
You just said it had coconut oil in it.
They have watermelon, they have tangerine, they have cake batter, they have vanilla bean.
Cake batter?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
They have chocolate, banana daiquiri. Flavors are endless.
So it's not just coconut?
No.
Oh, and that's good, because coconut's gross.
Maybe we could petition them to make chicken nugget flavor. Would you do it then?
That's no. Dino Buddies.
Dino Nugget.
Dino Buddies.
Buddies.
Dino Buddies.
Buddies.
Buddies, yes.
The point still stands.
Yeah, pterodactyls.
Perfect.
Yeah. Dinosaurs, Rexes, Stegosauruses.
I love chicken nuggets. Why Dino Buddies?
Well, they're nutritious, high source of vitamin D, and they're fun shapes. Like, why would you not like a Dino Buddy?
I feel like they don't get as crispy.
Well, that's just in how you prepare them, right?
Have you used a good air fryer?
I have used a good air fryer. I love air fryers.
I suggest you should put them in a little longer.
But they don't have the right coating.
Okay, well, she just got cut off the podcast.
Wow, we're going to mute mic number two.
Okay, I have a question for you. Let's bring it back. Let's get back on track here, you two.
Chicken nuggets are important.
As somebody who cares about implants, what advice would you have for hygienists?
What are hygienists doing wrong?
Oh, I do.
Sure, we don't have enough time. No, listen, like you already mentioned, like, the disruption of the bacteria, right? Like, so what we would like to have around an implant is a 3 to 4 millimeter pocket. And sulcus, whatever you want to call it. But, like, we hope that that is keratinized tissue. You know, because the thicker the keratinized tissue, the more crustal bone maintenance we're going to have, and the healthier that's going to be. You know, the most ailing of implants, or the most susceptible to these diseases, are those that patients have thin biotypes. You know, when you start to get a thinner biotype and less keratinized tissue, you're going to have more movement of the tissue, and you're going to have more crustal bone loss over time. And like the keratinized tissue is the protector of that. So in an ideal world around an implant, you'd want a 3 to 4 millimeter sulcus around that, which is also 3 to 4 millimeters where like bacteria can hang out. So it's also very difficult to get the floss in there in some of those aspects too, because if we think about molar implants, which are always the worst offenders, because we're talking about a tooth that if you went from mesial, let's talk about like tooth number 30, so from the the mesial edge of the root to the distal edge can be 10, 11 millimeters mm-hmm. wide. Mm-hmm. And we've now replaced it with something that's 4.6 to 5.8 millimeters wide. So almost half, or sometimes more than half, less than half of the diameter of the actual implant that's coming. So the placement of the implant lower allows the crown to come out and emerge out of the gums more at the width of the crown than it's supposed to be. And I'm sure that the two of you have seen implants, like molar implants are notorious for having food traps on the mesial and distal, because you have that triangular area, because the going from a 5 millimeter platform out to the emergence doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. So we have these natural food traps. So whether it's the disruption of the bacteria or in single unit cases, it's really like disruption of that of food impaction, you know, in that area. Because the same thing, like if you don't get rid of all the food, you know, and what is food? Like it's fuel for bacteria, you know, and especially the sugary things that you eat, the more it is that's going to do. So hydrofloss is great for, you know, implants, because you can get into that embrasure, because like, you know, most people don't floss.
Yep. Right. And that is one thing that we recommend a lot of times, especially around implants and bridges, is looking into a water flosser, because
you get the better compliance with the hydrofloss, because the unit sits by the sink and they have to stare at the son of a bitch at night when they're when they're supposedly brushing their teeth, you know. So it's like,
yeah.
Oh, I should turn that thing on. And like,
I personally find more success with the one that goes in the shower. Go back to
the shower.
The cordless one.
He has an opposition to this shower thing.
Yeah, listen, there's business to be done in the shower. And fucking flossing is not it.
Okay.
Well, flossing is not it. Flossing is not.
I have found with patients that if it sits on their counter, they put it away because it's clutter. If it sits in their shower, the water's already running, they fill up the reservoir, they just do it, and they're more successful because it's in the shower.
You know, I don't like, I don't go into the shower to have, like, drink shower water. Like, I just, like, in the morning, like, I don't want to put the shower water in, like, I don't know.
I'm not a big fan
of the shower water.
I didn't think about that.
And what if my recommendation has been for a half a cup or a cup of chlorhexidine into the water in the water pick, and like, so now we have the bottle of chlorhexidine in our shower.
talk about clutter,
talk about gross, like, next thing you know, your kids are peeing in the damn thing, and then you're pouring it in the deal, like.
It is sterile, isn't it? We're not going there.
I mean,
consistency. Let's go back to consistency.
Yeah. So
just as long as you're getting in between your teeth.
Yeah. We're happy.
And it's not just brushing. Yeah. You can't just do brushing or just flossing. It has to be both. Yeah.
Okay. I would agree with you that most people probably need to do both.
So what if you had a patient that had mostly implants and they only brush their teeth? Would you recommend flossing?
Well, it depends, because if it's a full arch, a single unit zirconia bridge, like, they're not, what you know is they won't get their floss threaders out.
Yes.
Not
going
to happen.
So again, but a hydroflosser, like you were saying,
any kind of floss.
It's the disruption, mm-hmm. you know, like whatever you can do to get that out of there. Like, listen, the problem with the implants, especially people that have multiple implants, is they lost their fucking teeth for a reason.
That's true.
And one of the reasons is they don't do the flossing. Well, they got allergic to the toothbrush, they got allergic to the cocoa floss, like all the shit, and then all of a sudden, like, they lost their teeth, and like, oh yeah, my grandma died, it gave me $50,000, so I'm gonna like get my new teeth, and I don't have to do anything else with them.
It is interesting, because people do say, like, they think that implants are not teeth, which they're not, but they don't think they have to care for them at all a lot of times. It's just
I'll be honest, this is my generation's problem, is that, you know, those of us that have been doing implants for 25 years, to sell implants back when it was kind of voodoo, we would tell people that, like, hey, you know, it's, you know, they're almost lifetime, you know, they, you know, that, that motion detector on that light thing is a pain in the ass.
Hold on, we have another
podcasting in the dark.
Yeah.
And look at it. It is torrential downpour.
Yeah, there. It is
nice officially down here. The Northwest fall.
Yeah. You know, so it was mostly our fault because we did everything we could to like sell the patient on an implant. So it's like, it doesn't, you know, it's virtually indestructible, doesn't need root canals, things like that. But then, you know, now we're learning like the old implants, you know, the design sucked and the cement sucked. And like, I went through this phase where like residual cement was like just peri-implantitis killing things. So one of the ways that I got through that was every time I did a cement retained crown, because it's all we had, like initially we didn't have the ability to do screw retain, so I literally would schedule a seat crown and then I would schedule them in hygiene and I would send them across the way and they would clean off.
Not my problem.
It's not necessarily my problem. It's like for someone that is not good or never is looking for subgingival calculus, sure. Like I don't have that skill set to go looking for subgingival hardened cement either. So like my hygiene team like just did that. And it was like a 5 minute point. It wasn't
right.
And they were usually like numb and stuff. But that was kind of our problem. But what we have today is like we also have a group of dentists that are what we call like bus drivers. And that is like someone walks in with an implant and it's got some bone loss and the first thing they want to do is like, oh yeah, Miss Jones, like you've got bone loss around this implant, like I got to send you to a periodontist or whatever it is. But like, you know, the fact is that our own real teeth lose bone over time. Mm-hmm. And like how many 60-year-old patients that walk in the door and you could tell them that they have zero clinical bone loss?
None.
Zero, right?
Yep.
But not all of them meet the criteria for having periodontal disease either.
No.
You know, so when we see an implant that has bone loss around it, like all it is a PA, mm-hmm. You know, and like, so, you know, back to like, you know, what do I expect from a hygiene team? It's like, okay, like, so we have radiographic bone loss, which if it means nothing in real teeth without context, like age, susceptibility, like how, you know, do we have x-rays to show how fast or how slow the disease is progressing? So in implants are the same way. So if we just have bone loss, we have no purulence or no bleeding on probing and no symptoms, like why do we even mention it to them? Like you can chart it. Mm-hmm. And you could maybe request some x-rays to see what it historically looks like, but without the presence of disease, bone loss is just bone loss. Okay. And we shouldn't treat it any differently than teeth, but we do. You know, we're like, oh my God, we're like, you know, when we see an implant and it's got, you know, a little crater around it, like, mm-hmm. Oh God, well, we should quit doing that.
Yeah.
Now, the same implant and, you know, it has a deep pocket, you know, because in the radiograph, like, we're only going to know from the radiograph if we have bone loss on the mesial and distal points.
Yeah. Right.
Like, that's it.
Yep.
Everywhere else gets lost, you know, in the cone beam CT, the blowout of the mm-hmm. it's not diagnostic to the crest either. So the patient coming in to the two of you is imperative for single units and multi, well, imperative period, because mm-hmm. the only way we get the data that we need to determine whether we have disease or not is based upon
you. Yeah.
Is based upon you. Yeah. Like probing depths historically over time, mm-hmm. does it bleed, does it smell, does it pus, or is it symptomatic? Because if there's none of those things, then clean the fucking thing and like so kick them out the door and don't, yep. like you don't yeah. need to talk about it.
Yep.
And if you're not knowledgeable about implants, you know, your thought is like, oh my God, it's got bone loss, like I gotta tell the patient. Like why? Like are you telling the patient because you want them to think you're smart?
Yeah.
You know, like I don't know what the philosophy is, because if you don't know why it has bone loss, mm-hmm. you certainly don't know how the hell to fix it. Mm-hmm. And now you gotta send this patient to someone they don't know and someone they don't care about and is a douchebag, you know. So like
well, and especially sorry. In the case that you're talking about, if there's nothing to fix, if they have great home care and they just have bone loss, then they're doing the things that they need to do and there's nothing that they can do more to fix it.
That's what I hate about school, is because they said, like, now that I've been doing this for 6 years, I'm like, bone loss was like the horror. They're like, oh, you have bone loss, you need SRP. oh, you have bone loss, you need this, this, and this. And I'm like, just because you have bone loss doesn't mean I need to, like, do SRP on you. Like, yeah, you might have some, like, 4 or 5 millimeter pockets, but we clean that up. It's just inflammation. But there's bone loss there. Doesn't mean you have to have SRP.
Well, and it goes without context, too, because, okay, so the patient comes in, they're full of calculus, and, like, you scale and replane them because they got bone loss and it meets the criteria. And then 6 months later, you see them again. Well, the radiograph still shows bone loss because you're not going to regrow it. Mm-hmm. So are you going to fucking scale and replane them every time? Yeah. And if they go down the street to another dentist, they're like, oh, well, you have bone loss. Like, you need scaling and replaning. Well, like tell me the other symptoms you have because, no one ever asks about the context because they're all, like, concerned about, like, how many dollars can I extract from that patient? Yeah, I mean, and it is, and, you know, like, you know, there's certain, you know, organized dentistry, or, like, you know, corporate dentistry that, like, they make their living on diagnosis and treating scaling and rip planing because it, like, you know, it pays well.
Yep.
And it's low overhead because you've got, like, time and scalers that, like, aren't disposable, you know, like.
And that right there is one of the main reasons Jen and I love working for Dr. Odlin in our practice here, because we have such autonomy in the fact that we can say, listen, I'm looking at this patient, especially these people coming out of COVID, where a lot of people, either we were booked out so far that people couldn't get in on time, or people just weren't comfortable going out. Whatever the case was, if they present and they have some deeper pocketing and some calculus, a lot of times we like to give people the benefit of the doubt. Like, let's get you cleaned up, and then we give them the talk and say, you know, if next time things aren't healing, if your home care, you know, it really depends on you and your home care, but we're going to do everything we can today. And if you look better next time, great, then we'll just keep you on the path that you're on. But if not, then we're going to need to go in and do that deep cleaning. And so we're just really grateful that we work at a place where we have the autonomy to do that. And it's not like, oh, you have one bleeding four, we're going to do it. We're going to do an SRP on you.
Bleeding four.
But it's amazing, like, school-wise, I see a patient come in, they haven't had their teeth cleaned in a while. I'm like, by the standards of what school taught us, they needed SRP. But then we're like, oh, let's give you the benefit of the doubt, get you back on track, let's just get a cleaning under your belt. And then they come back in, they're like, wow, you have threes and twos. Everything looks great. And it's just because of that inflammation that was present there.
Well, it's remarkable that the human body actually repairs itself.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You know, like, so, yeah, I mean, I think you're very fortunate to, you know, work for a group of providers that you do because, like, listen, the dumbest thing in dentistry, the absolute dumbest thing in dentistry is the hygienist's inability to diagnose caries. Do either one of you not know what cavity looks like?
No, we definitely do.
Yeah, right.
I mean, we, like, don't have the eagle eye of our dentist, but we can see.
Nah, bullshit. Like, you see,
yeah. Where's my probe exam?
Listen, the periodontal probe is, like, the most useful diagnostic tool on the planet. You know, it taps teeth. You listen to it. Like, it makes the patient feel like there's something going on. Like, because that's all they really want. Like, listen, your patient only really wants the rubber cup polish, which, by the way, that's another conversation here in a minute.
We are gonna come back to that.
But, like, what I think what, you know, what makes me gel with the providers that you have here is that they give you that autonomy, because in my private practice where I came from, like, I just let my hygienists do their jobs. And I was just like, hey, listen, like, okay, so you can't technically diagnose caries. Well, you know what? Then give me a sticky note behind the patient that says, please look at the potential DO on number four.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, like, my exam, like, if I'm the one that has to go looking for the cavities, like, that's a waste of my time. Because you went around the thing with your instruments, looked at the x-rays, like, come on, like, you have a much better view of it, and you've been there more than I have. So, like, that's the dumbest thing in dentistry today, is that you're, like, you went to school for 2 years, for God's sakes. Like, I can teach people how to diagnose caries in a week.
Yeah.
Like, it's the dumbest shit on the planet.
We
so
need to change this. This is good.
I would argue with the dentists and the dentists that are the powers to be at the ADA. Like, I would argue with them, like, why would you not want them to do it? Like, exactly. Do you really want to go down? Like, why do I need to go to a hygiene exam? Like, I like literally, yeah. Like, listen, like, you, the patient is a symptom. Like, okay, fine, bring the dentist in and do the things. But, like, if it's a cleaning where the patient is symptom-free, bleeding-free, pus-free, x-ray-free, like, then why do I need to go down there?
That's very true.
The fuck do I need to go down there for?
Because they love you.
No, they don't. No, they don't. They love you too. Like,
okay,
like,
no, they do love you because.
Well, they don't love me, but like, okay. they might love Chris and no. Well, nobody likes Lana, but like they like, you know. Like, no, like they love all those people, and that's right. Fine.
There's patients that come in and they don't say squat, and then the dentist comes in, they're like, "Oh my gosh, how are you? How was your vacation? I just spent an hour with you cleaning your teeth."
Well, but so I would challenge you that they may not open up to you like personally, maybe like they might to the dentist or talk in that fashion. But what I do know is that they'll spend an entire hour bitching to you about something in the mouth, and when the dentist sits down and you're like, "Hey, how's everything going?" Great.
Yep.
Yeah. You have any problems? No.
Or it's opposite. They don't say anything to us. I'm like, "Oh, anything bothering you at all with your teeth or gums? Oh, everything's good." Then the dentist comes in. "Oh, I have this pain here, or this hurts here." And I'm like
if you would have told me that, I would have taken a PA, so we would have more knowledge.
Like, this job would be so much better without patients. Like, it'd be so much better.
We could all just hang out at the office and
drink wine.
And drink wine.
Yeah, why would we not?
And talk about flossing.
And work out.
I mean, you're on to something.
Yeah. I mean, let's get back to, really, the patients just want, like, the rubber cup polish.
Oh, no.
You think so, huh?
And you guys do it at the beginning.
Yes.
We changed it.
Tell me that. Talk to us about.
So we did double hygiene.
We went through a season. We know other offices do double hygiene, but we don't typically do that. That's not anything we've ever done.
Well,
here.
You two, like, so we'll stop. Like, you two have been a rock for Chris, and she loves you too for that. Like, that's part of a team, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you lose a member here and there, and people step up knowing that, like, it's for a short time.
Right.
It's like somebody, like, 6 months ago, we thought you were never going to be full staffed at a hygienist again. Yes. And today, you're probably maybe a touch over.
Maybe.
You know, or you're back to, you know. And I will go out on a limb. Well, it's not a limb. There is no hygiene. I'm pretty sure my hygienist don't listen to this, so that's fine. There's no hygiene team like you guys.
That's awesome.
No, like I, and for a number of reasons. First and foremost, from a owner perspective, you have the least amount of drama and squabbling between the amongst of you I've ever seen in my entire life. Most of the time, you can't get more than two hygienists in a room without, like, an all-out fucking cat fight. So, like, I'm just telling you, like, of all the offices I've been in and have had and owned and all these things, like, mm-hmm. you guys have this rare deal. And you guys all really, it's not about the money. Mm-hmm. You know, because, like, listen, like, you know, you hear these stories, you know, today about, like, well, you know, they use COVID to extort more money or whatever it is. Yeah. Well, like, listen, like, what good would $5 an hour more be if the dentist is an asshole?
Yep.
Not worth it.
Yep.
Not worth it. And what about, is it worth $10 more an hour to work for a micromanaging pile of shit dentist that comes in and, like, just tears apart all your work?
Yeah, absolutely not.
And doesn't really believe in, like, what you do, and does this 20-minute exam after you've been in there for 45 minutes. Mm-hmm. Like, but those docs, there's a ton of them. Mm-hmm. You know, so, like I think that message is, like, there's more to it than money.
Oh, yeah.
Now, do we all, like, want to be appreciated and need to make money and pay our bills and stuff like that? But, like I've never experienced a team that is this put together, you know.
And we feel the same way. Like, when I got out of school, I temped for a while, and then I worked at a couple offices before a friend referred me over to Chris, and I only had 2 days here. And then I knew, working 2 days, I'm like, I want to be here forever. And so once I had an opportunity to do that, I took advantage of it, because like seeing how other practices run, I'm like, this is a good place to be.
Well, they've heard it from every temp that comes to our office. Yeah. They're like, this is just like no other place I've been at. And so we're really grateful for the team that we have and the camaraderie. And
you know, I think it's vice versa. Like the you know, it's not without some, it's not that like your minimal drama within the hygienist, but like every office has the hygienist. You have four camps, right? Dentists, hygienist, assistants,
front office.
Mm-hmm. At any given day, one of the camps hates one of the other camps. Mm-hmm. And then that's life, right? You know, because like it is what it is. Yep. You know, but it's a pretty least amount here that I've seen for
and being here 6 years. It's taken a while to get there. Like we
have a dream team right now.
We have a dream team. Yep.
You know, so we're in the dark again.
You're running out of pillows to throw out the light sensor.
Oh, nice work.
That's CrossFit movement.
We'll get back to that.
Yes, it was some kind of CrossFit kick that got the like light turned back on. You know, I've been here 2 years, mm-hmm. over 2 years. And like there were a few times that the team was not ideal. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And what... You know, what we know about non-ideal times is on occasion, like, people just quit without, like telling why they quit. You know, like, sometimes people just, like, had enough of it. Nothing, you know, it's like, hey, nothing's going to change. I'm just going to take off. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I commend you guys for, like hanging in there. Because, like, we all have bad hires, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, not necessarily bad hires, but, like, not everybody gels. Right. And it's more important that the team, you know, is in alignment than it is anything else. Like, so you're pretty damn good right now.
Like, thanks. It's exciting.
We're happy to be here.
It's coming up on Christmas party time.
Oh, the mashed potatoes.
Is it the mashed potatoes or is it the carrots and rutabaga? Is it?
I don't know. They're really tied.
That is tied.
We keep trying to get them to do a summer thing so we can have potatoes twice a year, but it hasn't happened yet. So maybe you could put in a good word for us. You have an in with the chef.
So I think that this year's will be quite extravagant because there'll be
across the street.
There'll be cocktails and appetizers at our place across the street, and then
I bet it's the house that I accidentally walked into.
Tell me about that.
Mm-hmm. So this was the first year I worked for Chris. So I never met her parents. I was like 3 months. I started like in October, so I was fresh, brand new. They're like, come to the Christmas party, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, okay. And so they gave me the address. Max and I show up, and we're fashionably late because I didn't want to be right on time. And so everyone
now we show up right on time because we know it's a good time.
Because I was nervous. Well,
If you don't show up on time, you're like, you might miss food.
I didn't.
That's
really...
why she was drinking the bad line, and she was late. Exactly.
Well, anyway,
penalty.
So we show up, and all the cars are over there. I don't know what, and they all look the same. And then I see, like, I'm like, oh, I think that's Sherry's car. It's parked right in front of Sherry's, one of our assistants, parked right in front of this house. And so, and like, this house is having a party too. So I go up, knock, no one answers.
Are there stairs going up the top?
Uh-huh.
Oh, that's ours.
Oh, shit. Yeah, mm-hmm. So I've been in your house. And so,
Before you were.
Nice.
And so I go in and I'm like, hello, I'm here for the party. And they're like, hi. And they're like, oh, do you know so-and-so? I'm like, nope. And then they're like, oh, you're probably with the Oddlands. And I was like, oh, okay. So they're like, they're across the street. So Max and I go across the street, and I went into someone's party. It's fine.
You really should have grabbed like a cocktail or an appetizer or something before you left.
Really,
you really missed an opportunity.
Was this before or after Lena fell down the stairs?
Oh my gosh.
I wasn't there that year. That was the year before.
You were there?
No, that was.
We did
just heard the story.
Okay, 1 year we did give her a tarp to sit on.
I saw that.
So she wouldn't spill wine, and she did spill wine on the tarp. So it worked. Epic.
I mean,
parties.
Our Christmas parties are really hard to beat.
Any kind of get-together is hard to beat.
We have a good time in our office. I think that's the key, is like we genuinely, and I guess hopefully everybody would say the same thing, but we genuinely like each other.
We just went line dancing all together at the Ponderosa.
You really need to stick in town on like a Friday or Saturday night. There's a great lineup coming of country music.
Mm-hmm. It's a fun time.
If you guys are in town ever, you can join us.
It's her.
It's Scoot and Boogie, you know?
Yeah, it's her. She never wants to stay in town. So.
We'll line it up. Line it up.
So, okay, you were mentioning the polish.
Oh, yeah.
Just to clarify.
So let's back up. Yes. This particular...
Like, it's changed.
Okay,
my
but
career.
The reason why is because there was this season of life, like you said, where we were short on hygienists. And so Jen and I were doing double hygiene. And we have an amazing assistant that were willing to step in and help us out. So, for all of you who don't know what double hygiene is, basically we see two patients in an hour instead of one. So, our assistants would start with one and we'd start with the other.
At the 30
and they
after.
Would polish first, polish, floss. And if they could do an exam, and we would be scaling and using our piezo in the other room. And then we'd switch and finish up the patients. So what we found is that when our assistants were polishing for us first, it made life a whole lot easier. It takes off that plaque and some of the stain. And so our piezo wasn't doing extra work by removing all the plaque. We could just focus on the calculus.
It's also more comfortable for patients. So I have really sensitive patients, like with recession and like cold sensitivity. And so when I polish first, take off that first layer of biofilm, then I put a sensitivity polish on, I'm able to piezo and they don't get zings. Like they say it's life changing. They're like, what did you do different? And I'm like, I just switched up the polish because it absorbs into the little tubules that are exposed more because that plaque isn't covering them. And then it's more cleaner and comfortable cleaning.
Ta-da. So there you go. So that's why we polish first.
Do any of the patients complain?
You know, I haven't had any patients complain. I've had a couple patients ask, you did that first this time. But nobody's complained for me. She's had two.
One that says I created more stain on her teeth because I polished first.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
And then I had another one say that more calculus built up because I polished first.
Which both previous notes show heavy plaque stain and calculus. So unlikely. Yeah. But out of all the people we've seen, and two out of all those people, I think people are okay with it. We're just such creatures of habits as humans.
I was like, why have I never done this before? Because like, it takes off the first layer of plaque, which you spend so much time piezoing the plaque, and the piezo doesn't really take off the plaque. The polish does.
And if we go back to it, Jenna and I both worked in pediatrics as assistants. Yep. So we did a lot of dental cleanings anyway. That was our main job there. And we would always polish before we would hand scale super gingerly because you can't sub before you're a hygienist. But we would always polish first. And so it was kind of like when we realized, one, this helps us now. Why didn't we think of that earlier? Because that's what we used to do. So it's been a good change for us. We like it. And it's not going anywhere, so deal with it.
We've worked in dental
like
together
that?
For a long time.
Oh, yeah, she has a couple glasses of wine. She gets a little sassy.
That's right. Watch out.
Are you opposed to the polishing first?
No,
you not love that?
I'm not.
With like, your very just, clean mouth? I don't know why you would care.
That is correct. That's correct. Really, all I need is the rubber cup polish.
That's all you need. Mm-hmm. You don't need flossing and brushing.
Well...
Now have we convinced
you? You were there the last time I got floss, so it's like,
We'll review. We'll have an intervention. I'll bring some cocoa floss to the next podcast party.
Negatory. Negatory.
We know where to find you. Jen's been to your house.
That is true. I have been to your house.
That's Jesus. Well, we're only... December. We're only like 5 weeks away from the Christmas party. Like, how crazy is that?
But okay, more importantly than that, we're less than that away from coming to Arizona with you guys again.
Oh, yeah.
I finally get to come.
Yeah.
The 15th. We're going that weekend. We're going to come down and clean some teeth.
I get to go.
I don't know what day we're leaving in
December. I'm going to do
some
TikToks for you.
If we leave that Wednesday night or Thursday, but it's going to be that weekend.
All right. When?
December 15th.
Of December?
Yeah.
The week after the Christmas party.
Yeah.
You're going to have a whole lot of time with us.
Oh, I guess it was more than that away
Better
then.
Be prepared.
Oh, we have a good time down in Arizona.
This could be great. And the two of you will be doing the clinic such a favor.
I love it.
Yeah.
I was so sad I missed out last time.
And it's also funny because this next time, you were kind of the trailblazer and the team didn't really know why is she here?
Who is this girl trying to clean?
I know,
my
and then
teeth.
The others are just like, are you getting paid? You know, and I'm just like, oh, for shit's sakes, you know. But the team really, like, we never make time for them, right? Mm-hmm. You know, so, like, they're excited to get their teeth cleaned and, like, yeah, you might get a flap again. And
might do a flap.
Oh, that would be
flap
fun.
SRP.
It'd be interesting to see how well that responded.
I do want to check
yeah,
up on
you have
him.
To get him back in there.
Yeah. See how he's doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's going to be fun.
I'm excited.
It's going to be
time.
Fun. So, all right. Well, thanks for coming on the podcast, talking about CrossFit and, flossing.
We didn't really convince you to do the CrossFit just yet, though.
Hey, you know what? Like, I like my Peloton. I like my rower.
Peloton
like,
is fun.
Rowing is part of CrossFit.
Rowing is in CrossFit.
So you're basically a CrossFitter. Congratulations. Yeah.
Rowing is so much different than the bike.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, because you get your arms, you're out, the whole thing, you know, like, the bike is really just your legs, and, like, yeah, but,
the rower's legit.
Rower is legit.
Yeah.
Do you want us to forward you some rowing workouts?
Negative.
Like burpees?
No, I've got the hydro, and I just,
What was that we did? It was, like, a marathon, a rowing.
A marathon of what?
On the rower.
Yeah.
You can row a marathon.
You couldn't stand up afterwards.
That's a long ways.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's quicker than running.
It might be.
Oh, God,
I don't think I'd make it in a running marathon.
No, it's too much time. That's a waste of a day.
It's a lot of commitment.
And then all the training.
I think that's why we don't have drama, is because we work out so much. We're happy people.
People that endorphin. Work out are definitely happier people. There's no, like, that's... There's
happy
no doubt
about
that.
Happy people just don't kill their husbands. Quoting Legally Blonde.
Okay.
That's pretty good. That's a good place to end. So
on that note,
happy people don't kill their husbands.
All
so
floss probably don't kill their husbands either.
I don't know about that.
We should pull some stats.
Have we convinced you at the end of this podcast to floss?
Negative.
Dang it.
Because you said I have great teeth and gum health and I don't floss.
It's coming back to bite me.
Prove me wrong.
You need to
duck
get
killer.
You need to get an implant.
Duck killer. I'm a wannabe duck killer.
Okay.
That's like a conversation for like a, because we're over the hour time limit and like everyone's gonna check out after this. But podcast 2 with the FlossFit crew is gonna be on
hunting and fishing and loving every day.
Yes.
And maybe more CrossFit.
Yeah. Do you kill small animals or winged animals?
I do not. I benefit from her.
Because you eat them.
Yes, because she does it. So she's just a gamer. And I am.
So you don't eat the duckies?
Yes!
Okay.
What are you doing?
I mean, are you really?
Come on.
We shouldn't
what
do
are
that.
You doing?
We shouldn't do that anymore.
I'm providing meals to those less fortunate. That don't have friends.
She's got a job. Like I don't know why she's like less fortunate.
Listen, I'm trying to justify.
I get it.
I benefit from it because I like fish and duck.
Mm, yeah, for sure.
I tried to cook it.
Well, I did eat. I had a bite of jerky on the boat while I was fishing this summer, and it tasted a little off because I was expecting pepperoni. I said, "What is this?" And they said, "It's duck and geese." And I was like, "I'm out. You can have it back."
No, you know, that's you. Not a normal kind of jerky either, though.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
What do you do with your duck or your pheasant?
Well, interesting enough, you know, they're filleted into breasts and they're ready to thaw. And when I brought them back in the cooler, a certain fiancé of mine thought that the whole bird and feathers and all was in the freezer.
Uh-huh. Oh, she didn't know.
No, she didn't know. And I said, "What do you think is in the freezer?" The bird. And I was like, it's fucking staring at you if you open it up, you know. And then, oh, by the way, there she is.
Well, I will say, our assistant.
And the Augie doggy.
Our assistant, her husband hunts as well. And they're our good friends. And the whole bird is in the freezer.
The whole bird?
Yeah, because they use it for training for their dog. So So they throw
well, that's
it.
A dog training, though. Like, well, like some people thought the entire bird was in the freezer, and then like the head is probably just like hanging out, like waiting for them. Like,
yeah.
So, we may or may not have been talking about her. So it's okay.
There's my duck.
I know, a duck. Yeah.
But I didn't. Yeah, it was.
It was our door prop.
Are you still alive?
Well, it's not live, but yeah, we've regressed, and we need to end this podcast. We went from Crossfoot to floss to
polishing
to dead ducks.
Sorry, that's how we turned on the light.
Yeah.
The light.
It, so we sat here long enough. The lights would turn off. Then she'd throw a pillow at it, and it would turn back on. So, all right, from the newest of podcast studios available to Dennis Implants and Worms. Thank you to Jen and Jess for talking about Floss Fit, and there will be a second episode where we will talk about Jess and her killing of small winged animals. So
also the ones that swim.
Oh yeah, yeah, oh, yeah. And she fishes as well. So and more crossfitting.
And how I cook.
And the hunter and the gatherer and the cook. So, all right, from Studio Washington. I've never signed off from here, so it's kind of thrown me for a loop. So, from Dennis Implants and Worms, thank you for being on. Thank you for listening. Go on to Apple Podcast and give us a. I don't care if you give us one star. Just give us something out there. Give us some notoriety.
That concludes another episode of
We will catch you on the next episode. Cheers.
Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for telling a friend and throwing 5 stars at us on iTunes. Catch you on another episode. And don't forget the fireball. Cheers.